Let's start with creation. Let's start right at the very beginning. A very good place to start. I'm not going to sing.
The first words of the Bible are, in the beginning, God. What the original language is used for that, you know, it's a compound name. It fits in with, yes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It carries on then to explain who this Word is. And John is one of the main people in the Bible that discusses just exactly who Jesus is, where he came from, what he came to do, and everything else.
So yes, that's an important point to remember. We're talking about a great work of theology. It's not always going to be easy to understand, but it's worth digging into. You were saying, and we've been saying, that Jesus is God's Word.
The Word of God is the very thing that he created all things, and then when it became time for Jesus the Messiah to come into the world, he found a 12-year-old, some say, Virgin Mary, and spoke the Word of God into her. And that Word created or brought about the Lord Jesus Christ into the womb of Mary without the aid of a man. Now, these things can only be understood. You can't read the Bible as any other book because it's a supernatural book. Yeah. And John's Gospel makes it very, very clear that if you've got an open mind, the Holy Spirit, the third part of the tripart nature of God, will help you, will teach you. And then the Lord gives you the power then, once you've established an interest in the Scripture and knowing Jesus, that the Scripture itself will do the same as it did to Mary, and that is establish Jesus in your heart.
The Word of God causes creation, causes the birth of Jesus for the purposes of this. It brings about life. I mean, I'm not using the technical term of creation. It creates in the Word.
Yeah.
Creates in Mary, Jesus. Not of course he's being born, not created in that sense, but he's been made, brought into being, it would be better, in Mary. But through him...
Begotten is the word the Bible uses.
Begotten, yes. So Jesus is begotten as the miraculous work of God, which is through his Word. He says it will be, therefore it will happen. And then Jesus is, in a sense, the Word of God in that he's a communication with us, but also he was brought into being. He was begotten by the Word of God. And I'm just trying to just play back through my mind what you were saying. And the Scripture then, which records the words of Jesus and describes him and how God was working with God's people, and records the words of a prophet of the prophets, because it's inspired by the Spirit. You didn't say this bit. I'm sort of adding this bit for a bit of background. The inspired by the Spirit can be can have the same effect on us. It can be God's word to us, and so Jesus comes to live in us, comes to be with us. That's what you're saying? But that's the relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that you see, this is an essential thing to remember, because I don't know if you know this, Alan. I don't know if you're following the controversy in Islam, but just at the moment, Islam, which is the other big monotheistic religion apart from Christianity and Judaism, which has a book as an important part of the belief set, but the difference between the Muslim claims about the Quran and the Christian claims about the Bible is quite marked in that the Muslims would claim that in Islam, the Quran has been preserved absolutely with every mark and every letter exactly the same, because it was handed down from heaven by the angel Gabriel to Muhammad. Whereas Christians, we're not claiming that. I mean, the actual word of God is God speaking. Jesus is the personification of that. And the Bible is, through humans writing it down, inspired by God to be the word. So there's going to be mistakes in the writing and the transmission of it, because we're human. You know, the word of God is the content, if you like, of those words, the meaning in them. So it's very different. And because of that, Islam's going through, the world of Islam is going through a bit of an issue, because lots of mistakes have been found, you know, in copies of the Quran. Well, you'd expect that. It shouldn't be a problem for them if they hadn't made this massive claim. But I was just making that distinction because I know, I mean, I have friends who are Muslim and they may well be tuning in. So that's the distinction there, that there isn't any claim that the Bible is the word of God in the same sense as the Quran. It's the meaning within it. In fact, because of that, well, people have different views on this. Let me tell you a little story, Alan. Is this how it happened to you? I once went to a church where my wife put her book down on the floor, her Bible down on the floor next to her seat. And just at this point, the preacher was saying, and you should respect the Bible as the word of God, and you should never put it on the floor. He was just saying this at the point, which, you know, it's that I'm saying is a minority view. I did think it was a bit strange, but the fact that I thought it strange just shows, you know, in Christian circles, that's an odd thing to say. The book itself, you know, the cover and the paper isn't holy. It's the content, the meaning within it that's holy. Or am I being very strange? That's right, isn't it, Alan? You'd agree with me there?
Yeah, because it says in the Bible it's God breathed.
No, right, okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean... Yeah, I was going to add, and you know,
the Lord spoke into men.
Yes,
what His word was, and they wrote it down. Yeah. God is the author of the Bible.
Yes, yes, God is the author, but not the scribe. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
That's exactly. It's a different idea, a different concept. This is not to diss Muslims or to criticize them individually. You know, we're not saying that, saying it to point that out, or I'm not saying it to point that out. What I'm pointing out is that there's a different idea about our holy book, our scripture, than you would have of the Quran. Now, let's look back then, having made that distinction. Let's look back at John's gospel. Jesus is the word. I'm just calling up. I've got it in front of me here. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So we've got quite a lot in there. What is this saying about the Word? The Word's involved in creation, but He's also the light. What do you, let's put it to you first, what do you, Alan, what do you make of these two descriptions? That He's, through Him all things were made, the Word, and He's also life and light. What do these three things mean?
Well, theology uses a word, pan creator. Mm-hmm. That means He created everything out of nothing, creation ex nihilo.
Yeah.
So before God spoke, there was nothing but the Word.
Sure.
So as I see it, everything came about because of God. Mm-hmm. I mean, I believe in creation in 6 days.
Yeah.
I don't believe in any way in any sort of evolution or Big Bang theory or anything like that.
No, that's an important point to make. We're talking about God creating everything by God's word, and we're saying Jesus, you know, yeah, before He became human, we're recognizing that at this point. We're not saying that He was running around in His sandals and robe creating it. It's just that you could create, criticisms of Christianity. You often use, I understand why, because it's a good rhetorical technique, but use ridicule to try and make their point. But what we're saying, what you're saying, Alan, is Jesus is equated with God's word, and God's word brought everything into being, and it started out of absolutely nothing, by which we don't mean some sort of strange, field, electromagnetic and field. We mean absolutely nothing, no thing. You know, just make that point. And that's what they talk about the creation of life, don't they, on Earth? Yeah, we're not saying none of that. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is over a 6-day period, through the Word. So through the Word that we came to know as Jesus Christ, through the Word, everything was created. So that's the start of creation. But I guess we're still dealing with the first of the three terms. I said created everything, and then life, and then light. So he created everything, but it didn't stop there. Everything was created. But of course, then after that, you would say, well, it needs to continue to be sustained by the power of God. But also, as we go through John's Gospel, in fact, as we go through all of the New Testament, there's a lot of talk about a new creation. And that's through God's word as well.
Yeah.
So this is a very important concept, that it's through God's word. That's Jesus, and we'll come to a minute in what we mean by the word in terms of the actual message. What's the content of the message? There's a lot in it, but you can sort of encapsulate it in short form, because that's done for us in the Bible. So so God's word brings about new creation. How in him was life. How do you read that as being associated with the word? In him was life. How does he bring about life?
Through his word.
Right. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
It comes around robin.
Of course. Yeah. He's saying that it will be. It was saying, that will be. He gives life. But the reason why I was asking, by the way, I tell you what you say. Yes, it ends up being circular, but there is this concept of God breathing. So he breathes life, and his breath gives life. That's perhaps a different aspect, because when you speak, you breathe. And it just brings up into my mind, so God speaking out words, and just using as an illustration how we physically speak. God is spirit, and so he can achieve the ends in a different way. But as a human being, when we speak, breath comes out. And I think that is the imagery used when it talks about God breathing. The spirit gives life.
Yeah. Of course, one of the main things in theology is that these things are very difficult to understand by a finite mind. And God is omnipotent, omniscient, and, he has all knowledge.
Omnicognizant. That's the... He understands all as well. Yeah, I think if that isn't a word, it should be. No, that is one of the attributes that's given, isn't it? But the yes, our minds are limited and his are unlimited. Which is the meaning of the word infinite. Yeah. He's not limited by the bounds that we have, so he can understand a lot more. But we can understand some, because it could have been the case that the world was created such that we couldn't understand it. But in fact, God, in his graciousness, has created the world, such that we can understand it, which, he didn't need to do. We could have been created not intelligent enough, and the world could have just been unfathomable. But in fact, we can understand the world. And through that, we can understand the Creator, at least to some extent. And then on top of that, he speaks to us through his word. So we talk about life. Now, in what way then is the word the light of all mankind? How does that, this is the third of the terms used, how does that relate to Jesus as the Word?
When you first start reading the Bible, there's not much light at all. The same as, you go into a room and you light a match and there's not much light, and then you put the light on and there's a bit more light, and then the sun comes out and there's a lot of light. And it's an ongoing process of when you have a mind to discover God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit responds to you and starts, as you respond to the Lord, starts putting your lights on then, and you start to understand things which are very, very difficult to understand. I mean, if you talk to a Jehovah's Witness, they can't understand at all about a Trinity. And the Trinity is probably the biggest concept to try and get to establish in the whole of the Christian, in the Bible.
Yes.
To get a sound understanding. Mm. But as you go on, the Holy Spirit teaches you and establishes you in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, by the washing of the water of the Word.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in theology, it's called sanctification.
Yes.
That is a preparation for the new world you've been talking about, for the new creation.
The new creation, the ultimate goal or end. We often called heaven, because heaven simply means, I suppose, where God is. When we're looking for the ultimate destination, where we spend eternity, we're talking about the new world, the new creation, new heavens and new earth. That's sometimes missed out, simply because, of course, in evangelistic preaching, when you're trying to present the idea, you want to make it as simple as possible. So I understand why people say there's heaven and there's hell, and, you know, that's all they talk about. But in fact, what we've got is really a story, a flow, a movement in the story. And if you want to look to the end of the story, the end is in the new creation, in the future. And there'll be, in the new creation, new heaven and a new earth. Yeah, so that's interesting. That's interesting. And we've started to explore that. But just on the light, I mean, light later in John's Gospel is used, isn't it, to describe the effect that Jesus has, because he's the... in being the light of the world, he brings to light, or brings his light to bear, so the truth comes to bear on people, and people don't necessarily like it, because if there's a shine of light on, you can see everything that's happening, I suppose, is the idea here, such that you have people scurrying to get away from the light. It's a bit like God reaching down to rescue us, and he picks up a rock, and underneath there's all these bugs running about. In my little image that I've tried to create there, we are the bugs. A bit unsavory, but, you know, we're running about trying to get back in the darkness again. If we only knew, actually, the light is showing things that it is, and we need to wake up and pay attention. So it's that sense as well, isn't it, that in Jesus coming, he shows us how things should be run, or... You know, and so he brings to light things that are going, have gone off, gone in the wrong direction. Mm.
Yeah.
Now we're going to...
This brings you back.
Yes.
This brings you back to the Bible, because in the Bible it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways.
Mm-hmm.
And God's ways and God's thoughts come to us through reading the Bible.
Yeah. 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 Now, I we're going to close soon in the next, say, 10 minutes or so, but I wanted to move on just in that, just through John's Gospel, just through that first chapter, because we then hear the first things that Jesus is recorded as saying in John's Gospel. He's the Word, and he's got something to say. And his message is very simple. Now, I'm going to read just a little bit further down in John's Gospel. So if you are following along, this is John chapter 1, Beginning to read, let's see, when shall I start? The first time he starts speaking. I will start in the build-up to it. Verse 43. No, he's spoken before that. I've got to speak. So let's say verse 35. This is in the New International Version. The next day, John was again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." That's it. That's the first thing that he says. "Come and you will see." Well, let's move on. So they went and they saw where he was staying and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. And I'm going to skip now. That's verse 39 down to verse, let's see. Oh, no, I don't need to skip. Let's go to verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what Jesus had said, who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Kephas," which when translated is Peter. And my final verse I'm going to read out. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Okay, I'm just reading that passage. So Jesus then speaks and he's got a message to them. First of all, it's a message that he has knowledge. He knows things about them. And then he says, "Come and see. Come with me. Come with me. Come and see what I'm about. Stay with me and then follow me." That's what I take from that passage. So it's an interesting message. What I'm going to put to you, Jala, just to talk about in these next few minutes. So this message that we're getting is not some sort of motto or just a general timeless message, religious message. It's a very, very personal message, isn't it? It's about a personal relationship. So how is that? How do you see this? How do we have this personal relationship with Jesus? What is Jesus saying here about, "Come and you'll see, come and stay with me"?
You keep having a problem freezing.
That's the Skype connection is a bit difficult. Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to go back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 12.
Yeah.
"But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believed on his name." Mm. Now, what you've just been discussing in these later chapters with the early disciples, these were people that recognized that there was something in him that attracted them to him. And it wasn't anything like superstardom or anything else. They were drawn by the Holy Spirit within Christ, within the Lord, and they recognized this within him. And they were drawn to him, and then the Lord encouraged them to follow him, the same as he encourages us. Because when you first become a Christian, it is quite difficult because all the things in the world are against the things of the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Totally different concepts, totally different laws, and everything else. As time goes on, things are becoming more and more difficult. Mm-hmm. For people to establish things of the Bible, particularly, because constantly things are being undermined by the media and everything else, and all the pressures around us. And it must have been in the disciples' days as well, because of Judaism and how far Judaism had gone away from the original purposes of God. But these people followed the Lord, and then the Lord started to teach them. And even though they messed up, the Lord still could see that there was something in them that eventually was going to grow and become the apostles and the disciples and all the teachers of the early church that went throughout the world, the known world then, and turned it upside down for him. Even though the tremendous problems that they had with the sort of the political correctness and everything of those days in the Roman Empire, that it was so dangerous for them to talk about Jesus and everything else. The same as it's becoming difficult for people now to talk, because we've become pretty much pariahs now, because this book is totally against what is happening in the modern world. And that's how I see, you know, that the Lord drew the disciples in the same way that he draws us. He draws us into himself.
Yeah.
And that is a very difficult thing to try and explain to somebody who's not a Christian.
Yes, I think that's right. I can see what you're explaining there, that really it's so different, in fact alien in many ways, to how culture has developed, but also, interestingly, to the culture at the time. And in fact, we see many parables as the culture around us has developed over, you know, I suppose post-war we're talking about, post-Second World War, over that time. Culture has developed and changed to be more like, in fact, the milieu into which Jesus first brought this message. They followed Jesus and learned from him. They followed him like disciples followed other rabbis as the teachers. And they did, in doing so, they spent time with him, they ate and drank with him, and they learned from him. So when it comes to the difficult times, they learned how to behave. Well, I think we need to draw this to a close now. There's plenty more to say. We'll pick it up in a later good conversation. I was thinking of the verse, and I just tapped it into my computer just to bring it up. This is Luke chapter 12, verse 12. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say at the moment when you need them. So we haven't quite come up to this level in our account of how Jesus meets with us, but Jesus sends his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be with us. So he, in saying, like the disciples were with Jesus, we are with him by his Spirit, and he gives us the words to say. So there's more to it than simply being trained. We're trained by Jesus, but he's also with us. So, but that's maybe Alan, that's I've opened a whole can of worms. that's the story. I was going to say can of worms isn't the best thing, but I've opened something new, and that's really a story for another day. So thanks, Alan, for that conversation. Yep, you have something else to say. Go ahead.
I think to add to how things have changed, in 1957, I went to senior school.
Yep.
And the Labour Council in Leicester gave every boy or every kid that went to school in Leicester a King James Bible.
Right, yeah.
And that's how I became a Christian, through reading that Bible.
Yeah.
Now, the Labour Party wouldn't give kids Bibles these days.
Unlikely, so, I think.
You know, that's how things have changed since 1957.
Yeah. Well, as we continue with these conversations, I think looking at how culture has changed and also what we can do about it, the Bible is pretty clear about what to do, and I think by God's Spirit we can discern more precisely what to do in these particular circumstances. So we'll get to that, but you really need to have a good grounding of who God is, how you can know him, which is through Jesus Christ. And we've really just started that with this look at the beginning of John's gospel. As Alan was saying earlier, gentle listener, gentle viewer, we're looking at one of the great works of theology, a great mind who was describing the greatest of minds, God himself. So we, you could excuse us if we don't get to all the depths that you can plumb in this great work in the approximately 30 minutes we've been talking. But we'll get to more. Stay in touch with us. Subscribe if you're on YouTube. Ring the little bell for notifications. And make sure you share this so other people can listen, can comment. And remember to weigh in yourself in the comments section. It'd be great to hear from you. But from Alan and myself, goodbye for now. Catch you next time for more good conversation.